Am I on? Can you hear? Morning. How are you? I can see some familiar faces out there and some new faces. That's always awesome. So welcome here. I will be your speaker today, obviously, and next week as well. So I guess maybe I shouldn't tell you that, because you have the opportunity to do whatever next week. Well, I'm going to share a little story with you first before I give you the scripture context. And I felt like God would have me share that this week. But let me ask you, have you ever heard of this saying, on the wings of a prayer? Well, that dated me back to when my grandmother was around, and I remember a time or two she used to say that, on the wings of a prayer. What does that mean? Well, that means that possibly you're in a desperate situation, and you're trying to hold on and pray to God as fast and as quick as you can with everything you have inside you. And I actually did a little bit of research, and that actually did happen to a World War II pilot as he was preparing to land and barely was able to land back in 1943. And because of that, there was a movie about that, and actually there was a song. I don't know if you, this will really date me, Gene Autry. That's back in the day. But in the 80s, there was a song by Bon Jovi. I'm not all familiar with his style. I just know it's different. And he talks about a song, Living on a Prayer. And in that song, he talks about a couple that's down on their luck. And they're halfway there because they're living on a prayer. Wherever there is, they're halfway there because they're living on a prayer. Well, I want to tell you the story. I remember the day full well. It was in the springtime of the year. It was May, and actually it was around, it was election day. So that was the first Tuesday of May. And my husband, Pat, and I had just packed our bags, and we were ready to fly his plane, a single-engine Cessna plane, to the four-hour trip to Jacksonville, Florida, where our son and daughter-in-law live. It was a beautiful day. I remember spring was in the air. Everything was starting to turn green, and the colors were starting to come in full bloom. And as we loaded the plane, I remember we fastened our seatbelts, and I heard my husband say, clear prop before he starts the engine. I hear him say, all systems are go, and we taxi out to the runway at the local airport. As we slowly climbed to reach our intended altitude, I remember looking out the window to my right, and I see how everything is just so perfectly in rectangles and squares as it looks from above. Everything looks so well organized, and I think that's just awesome. Doesn't look that way on the ground sometimes, but it looks so lovely from above. And just as we had leveled off 9,000 feet, my husband puts the airplane on autopilot. He does that many times. And when he does that, then I can get the food that I packed, because when I get up in the air, I'm always hungry. So I get the food that I packed, and I had some fresh fruit. I had just fixed that for us and was just about to pour the coffee that I had made for us, because we were going to sit back and relax. All of a sudden, we hear a noise, and there's a jolt in the plane. We both look at each other in shock and disbelief. Trying to figure out what happened, my husband is automatically going to the gauges, trying to check to make sure everything's okay. And after repeated attempts to start the engine, he thought, I got to call air traffic control. So he calls to air traffic control to attempt to locate the nearest airport so we can do an emergency landing. Needless to say, I lost my appetite. No food that day. And I did the only thing I know to do in a desperate situation is to pray. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Now, emergency prayers are okay, and I do them all the time too. But it's a little late if you've got to get acquainted with God. But I knew that God knew who I was, and I knew he knew exactly where we were. But I also happened to remember the bad attitude that I had a few weeks prior to that. And I thought, I wanted to make sure that Jesus and I were okay on that, that he'd forgiven me for that, and I was sorry about that. So I wanted to make sure everything was in good control there. As I listened intently to my husband talking to air traffic control, I heard them ask him, "How much fuel do you have?" And of course, he responded, "We have a full tank." But the next question they asked horrified me. For they asked, "How many souls are on board?" What? My heart skipped a beat. My eyes were as big as saucers. And then I thought about our dog. We took our little dog with us. And I thought, what about Rocky? I thought, this is not the time nor the place to bring that up. This is serious business. So I hit the throne of God again. And I remember thinking like this. My mind went back to my children. I may not ever see them again. And then I thought about my grandchildren. I won't be able to be a part of them in their lives growing up. And then I told the Lord, I didn't think he was finished with my husband and I here on earth yet. I mean, that would be a totally surprise to me. But if it was so, it was okay. It would be all right. See, you know, I remember shortly after we was married that we made the right decision to follow God. And we made the decision to be on the right path. As I continued to pray, after I prayed that prayer, I remember a peace just came over me, and I knew I felt better about the situation. I looked over at my husband, and he's looking ahead, and he's looking to the side, and he's looking all over. And he is so calm, cool, and collected, as if he had done this a million times before. I also remember looking out to the side of me and seeing a large body of water, thinking, I hope we get past that water before we land. You see, we had been gliding. We had been drifting effortlessly because of our engine failure. We were coasting, and Earth, the pull of gravity, was gradually pulling us down. So within a short period of time, which seemed like a long period of time, I remember looking ahead, and I could see the airport. I think, okay, maybe we're going to make it. But just shortly after that, I could smell smoke. And I thought, oh my goodness. And then, as I could see the airport a little bit closer, I saw a fire truck on the runway. So, bracing for impact, closing my eyes, and praying with all my might, because I didn't know what was ahead of us. I only knew we were ready spiritually, but I didn't know how the outcome was going to be. So as we were descending, coming down, finally we hit runway. We swerved to the right, we swerved to the left, come to an abrupt stop. We made it. Thank you, Jesus, we made it. I looked over at my husband, and I hugged him and kissed him and said, I would marry you all over again. Thank you. And then I grabbed Rocky the dog and jumped out. Thankfully, we didn't need the fire truck. Now, I would say that was about as close as you can get on a wing and a prayer, figuratively speaking. But what about you? Have you ever been in a desperate situation? Now, I have to admit, when we were in that desperate situation, I really didn't think of Philippians 4, don't worry about anything, because I was a little bit shaken, and I was a little bit worried. But I did know enough to call upon the Lord, and I know he knew who we were and where we were. Or do you ever feel like you're in a holding pattern, and you're just kind of like drifting? Sometimes we feel that way. But drifting effortlessly or aimlessly, sometimes that can be so stressful. And you know, we're all on a journey. It's It's called the journey of life. Whether we want to or not, it's the journey of life. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. One of the best well-known verses in the Bible, actually can be summed up in one verse in this book. One verse, 24 words, and it's very familiar, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That's it. That's the mission of Jesus right there. One verse. But we're going to look at Psalm 1. And I believe you have that in your handout there. Psalm 1. I think you have a little bit different version, NIV, than I have, but you'll still be able to tell. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does prospereth. Not so with the ungodly. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, the book of Psalms is very familiar because most of the time, many of the times, the book of Psalms is what is the most quoted. And also, I was interested to find this out, that Jesus began his ministry with a quote from Psalms and ended his ministry from a quote from Psalms. Now, Psalms, the book of Psalms, has the most books in the Bible, 150, most chapters, and they're all about praise and worship. There's many laments. There's many prayers. Gives us wisdom. And also, the Psalms originally are meant for us to sing. Now, maybe you can put music to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. We won't go there. Maybe that's something Christy could do. But Psalms is really a great book to read. And it's the most quoted. The longest chapter in the entire Bible is in Psalms. It's right smack in the middle, I believe, 119. Also has the shortest chapter, 117. And what's the verse that you know of that's probably the most quoted that you recognize? Psalm 23. Well, Psalm 1 that we're going to talk about this morning is a contrast between those who have reverence for God and those who do not. And it's interesting that the psalmist, and many of the psalms were written by David, actually almost half of them. There were actually seven other authors besides that, and there's even some that are unknown. And this one really, I thought it was written by David, but I find out that it wasn't. But notice that it starts out telling us what not to do. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the judgment, or stand in the, I better go back to it. Nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. So that's telling us what not to do. Now, when we see the word blessed is from a Hebrew word named, or it's called Asher. And that means happy. So happy are you when you do not do these things. Happy. Do you want to be happy? I want to be happy. Do you want to be happy? So the psalmist is telling us what to do to be happy. So the psalmist is saying, you will be happy if you do not hang around those that are going to ridicule you and tear you down. True friends are not like that. True friends build you up and draw you closer to God. Now, I know many times our work environments, we don't have a choice. We are around the ungodly. But in that way, we can be a shining example of God and his goodness. But I know we can set limits. So, and we can be an example of God's grace. Now, notice it also says, in the remaining verses there, the first three. It's our everyday life, whether we walk, whether we stand, or we sit. We are blessed. We are happy if we do those things. And you have to remember, the worldwide view is not godly. You know, the world is not godly. So we have to decide what we're going to do here. Are we going to fold into peer pressure? That's going to tear us down. And it talks about mockers and scoffers and scorners. Who are those? Who are those kind of people? Well, those are the kind of people that reject God. They don't know him, and they may not even be anxious to find out. And we also must be careful where we get our counsel. Who do you ask for guidance? Who do you ask to help you? You know, when I was raising our children, our eight children, I have to think that I had the eyes of an eagle and the roar of a lion, because I constantly had to investigate and check to see what they were doing, who their friends were. I mean, it was a big deal. And with the love and compassion of Jesus, sometimes, I told them, bad company corrupts good behavior. You know that. Absolutely. So let's move on here. Do you look forward to reading God's word? Do you delight in meditating on it? Meditate here is meaning speak, excuse me, speaking or uttering. That's even saying it out loud. You can learn it and memorize it. And that way you have it not only here in your heart, you have it here and in your heart. But it's not just that. It's not just meditating. And it's not just reading your Bible on Sunday when you come to church. It's meditating. It's letting it be a part of you, letting it change you from the inside out. That's how we change. Then, when you apply it, you can recall it from memory. And Luke 11:28 says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That means obey it. And I'll notice again, it says day and night. Day and night. And not just slightly, but diligently. Diligently. So it's what we listen to, what we read, and what we watch. And Joshua 1:8 says, keep the book of the law on your lips and meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do what it says. In Proverbs it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what goes in, it's going to come out. You can tell, I used to tell that to my children, because it's coming out. So how can we get better if we don't put it into practice? We've got to meditate, and we've got to put it in practice. We have the Spirit. If you know Jesus, we have the Spirit of the living God right inside of us. How exciting is that? That's exciting, and we can share that when we meditate. We become a student of the Scriptures. Do you ever feel anxious or discouraged? Sure. Go to the Scriptures. The book of Psalms is full of it. Cling to God's word. The Holy Spirit enables us to produce fruit, and we are blessed. We are blessed if we avoid the paths of the wicked and walk in the wisdom of God's truth. See, it talks about planting. It says that we are planted securely by the river, the water gives the tree nourishment. And that's the way God's word is for us. It gives us nourishment that we can grow. And when we do that, our results are that we have stability, we have nourishment, we have productivity, and we have strength. And because of that, we'll have success in God's eyes. But those are the first three verses, but let's look at the next one. Verse 4, oh boy, here comes the trouble. Here comes the trouble. Not so with the wicked. They are like wind-blown chaff. Now, what's wind-blown chaff? Chaff is worthless because it separates from the grain. And when we were in the plane we were just drifting. We were just kind of like gliding. That's kind of the way chaff is. It just drifts, drifting. And I think in my mind, I don't want to be drifting in life. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to drift aimlessly. And I don't want to just be gliding. So when we were gliding, we were at the mercy of the winds. And the wind was just taking our airplane wherever, the air currents. And drifting is like a purpose without God and God's eyes. The psalmist describes wicked as useless, unstable, and worthless. Boy, I think that's rough. I don't like to think about that. But an ungodly person is someone who doesn't obey God's teachings. Maybe you know of someone like that. Verse 5. Therefore, whenever I see a therefore in the Bible, I always know that means to listen up. Pay attention. It's therefore something is a reason. It's therefore. So you've really got to look and see that. What's going to be said is really important. Therefore, it's a warning. Those who deliberately choose their own way have no place to stand alongside of the righteous. Of course, there's not going to be sinners in heaven. That's just the way it's going to be. God cannot tolerate that. The psalmist ends with how God watches over the faithful and the righteous. For God knows who you are. And it also says that the ungodly shall perish. You know, hell is separation from God. It's a place of absolute loneliness and despair. And you know, the Bible talks more of hell than it does of heaven. And nothing sounds interesting to want to have to, that I would want to go there. So, summing up, Psalm 1 talks about two roads. Two roads, two kinds of people. The godly, the ungodly. Those who obey God, those who do not obey God. It's up to us. And that's one thing about God, is he is a gentleman. He doesn't require any of us to love him. He would love for us to love him. It's his desire that we would have a relationship with him. What's the mission that Jesus came? John 3:16. He died for us, that we might have that relationship with him. So it's our choice. Two roads, two kinds of people. You can live on the wings of a prayer, blown like chaff, drifting through life, being unprepared, or you can cling to God's word and live his way and live a blessed life, which also is a happy life. Happy is the man or the woman. The good news is God is patient, and he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to him in everlasting life. And to know God is to love him. So in closing, if you don't know this Jesus we're talking about, you can. It's as easy as A, B, C. Admit that you need a Savior. Believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, and confess. Confess your sins before the Heavenly Father. Deuteronomy 30:19 and 20 says, Moses commanded his people before commissioning Joshua to lead into the promised land. This day I call heaven and earth. As witness against you, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. In closing, I'm going to say a short prayer, but I will be standing at the back if anyone has prayer for anything, for any reason. I would love to pray with you. Let's bow and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for your strength and your goodness and your power. Thank you for your love that overcomes us, and you always give us more than we deserve. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to speak to us, and would you help us all to remember to be on the right path that brings glory and honor to you, In your name I pray and I ask these things. Amen.